Truth News Network. He's not Rush. He's not Sean. He's Dan. Dan Newman. And as usual, he's got the inside scoop on what's really happening in D.C. and everywhere else in the U.S. and the world. TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's Dan.
We'll find the truth today. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Truth News Network. I'm Dan Newman, and I am so glad you joined us here today. We're going to talk for the next couple of days about some specifics regarding one of the most mysterious gentlemen in the center of the public conversation regarding pretty much everything to do with Donald Trump. And of course, we're talking about former FBI Director Robert Mueller, the special investigator appointed by Rod Rosenstein to look into Russian collusion between the Trump campaign, even possibly the president himself, during the 2016 election, and Russians. We're almost 2 years into this investigation, and as of now, no Russian collusion. But if you listen to those on Capitol Hill who know all things in D.C. better than those of us who are apolitical, and they consider us apolitical, which means typically you live outside the Beltway. If you listen to them, Robert Mueller is something akin to the Messiah when it comes to law enforcement, investigation, and ferreting out facts of any salacious story with international intrigue. He is the epitome of the man of mystery. But wait a minute. There's another side to Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller, is he one of the best or one of the worst? A year or so ago here, we analyzed in a multi-part story the Robert Mueller of recent years, primarily his most recent public service in the Bush 43 and Obama FBIs, and some interim private service as well. I doubt you'll be surprised to learn there is another Robert Mueller. A Robert Mueller who has definite DNA attached to some very significant FBI cases, of which a fawning press painted a dramatically different story for the American people than actual details actually show. How does stuff like this slip through that politically driven media agenda? Well, that's a story for another day. But be certain that it happens every day in the United States. Today we begin another rest of the story about Robert Mueller. And these two, today and tomorrow's stories, will certainly paint a different version than you've heard previously. The difference? This one gives you facts instead of political perspective. The mystery of Mueller. Mystery surrounds Robert Mueller and his investigation into Russia and President Trump. That's being kind. It's far beyond just plain old mystery. Some think he's the ultimate professional, others that he is a Democrat lackey, still others maintain that he's working on Trump's side. You'll remember I posed that question a year or so ago, and the question was, is Mueller really a rogue agent out to get the president, or is he working with the president? We can see how he works if we look at how Mueller ran his second most important investigation as FBI director. In September of 2001, an entity began mailing anthrax through the U.S. postal system, hitting such prominent targets as NBC and Senator Tom Daschle's office. The terrorist attacks killed 5 people and left others hospitalized. The world, obviously, especially the United States, went into panic mode. Under Mueller's management, the FBI launched an investigation that lasted, 10 years or so. 10 years, folks. They being the FBI, now brag about spending, quote, hundreds of thousands of investigator hours on this case. Well, let's take a closer look at Mueller's response to understand the context of that investigation. Who his people investigated, targeted, and found guilty. The anthrax letters began just a week after the 9/11 attack. While planning the airplane hijackings, Al-Qaeda had been weaponizing anthrax, setting up a lab in Afghanistan manned by Yazid Soufat, the same man who housed two of the 9/11 hijackers. Two hijackers later sought medical help due to conditions consistent with infection via anthrax. Al-Hasnawi went to the emergency room for a skin lesion, which he claimed was from bumping into a suitcase. And ringleader Mohammed Atta needed medicine for skin and irritation. A team of bioterrorism experts from Johns Hopkins confirmed that anthrax was the most likely cause of the lesion. Meanwhile, the 9/11 hijackers were also trying to obtain crop dusting airplanes. Crop dusting airplanes, think about that. So how did Mueller's investigative team handle this case? Mueller issued a statement in October of 2001 while anthrax victims were still dying. The FBI had found, quoting Mueller here, no direct link to organized terrorism. The Johns Hopkins team of experts was mistaken, the FBI continued. Al-Hasnawi never had an anthrax infection. The crop dusting airplanes they needed? Possibly for a separate and unrelated anthrax attack. Possibly, the key word there. A few weeks later, the FBI released a remarkable profile of the attacker. FBI experts eschewed analysis of the content of those letters, where it was written in bold block letters, quote, "Death to America, death to Israel, Allah is great," end quote. Instead, they focused on a, quote, "linguistic analysis," stating that the letter's writer was atypical in many respects and not comfortable or practiced in writing in lowercase lettering. The FBI therefore concluded that it was likely a disgruntled American with bad personal skills. The investigators hypothesized that the attacker was a lonely American who had wanted to kill people with anthrax for some undefined time period, but then became mission-oriented following 9/11 and immediately prepared and mailed the deadly spores while pretending to be a Muslim. Mueller's FBI honed in on Stephen Hatfield as the culprit, a flag-waving American who had served in the Army, then dedicated himself to protecting America from bioterrorist threats by working in the United States Army Medical Research Institute of infectious diseases. This gets better, folks. You sit tight. When we come back, we're going to look at the Hatfield part of this case, a case involving today's special investigator, Robert Mueller. That's just ahead at the Truth News Network.
We may not be able to lower the cost of gas, but we can do something about how many miles you will drive per gallon. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today and let us help you increase the performance of your car or truck. Simple things like replacing your air filter, changing worn-out spark plugs, and using fuel injector cleaner can add up to better fuel economy and big savings. There's an O'Reilly Auto Parts store close to you that has the name brands, low prices, and people who can help.
Restore lost fuel economy and eliminate rough idle with Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy two and get one free. Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner quickly cleans clogged injectors to increase fuel efficiency and help your vehicle run smooth. Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner, buy two, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
While some compromise to be nice, others aggressively hold to the truth. Guess which one we are?
TNN, the Truth News Network.
We're looking at Robert Mueller, the other side of Robert Mueller that today's fawning media have neglected to talk to us about through the years. And we're talking about that famous investigation that happened that was kind of dwarfed by the 9/11 attacks in New York City and at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. But there necessarily was an anthrax investigation that was underway. All of the obvious evidence pointed toward Muslims, Islamic terrorists being the culprits in those anthrax mail attacks that killed five people in the United States. But Mueller's FBI decided that the culprit was Stephen Hatfill. There was no direct link from Hatfill to the attacks by the FBI's own admission, and the Bureau never charged him. The FBI did, however, spy on, follow, and harass him nonstop for years. The Department of Justice also publicly outed Hatfill as the possible terrorist. Now think about that. You're a private citizen in the United States. The FBI comes a-calling. For whatever reason or reasons, they decide, with no evidence, no facts, to target you as the instigator of a serious attack, a chemical attack that killed five Americans. And then they just let it slip in the public with no evidence whatsoever that you're the possible terrorist. While Hatfill's dignity and life were being trampled on by America's secret police, Mueller took a stand. But his stand was on a different topic. He made front page news for threatening President Bush he would resign over NSA policy, all while his own team was trampling on the rights of an American in the FBI's largest ever investigation to that point. Hatfill successfully sued the government for its unlawful actions. He won almost $6 million for that case. And of course, that $6 million came from who? American taxpayers. After the Hatfill investigation blew up in the FBI's face, they moved on to Bruce Ivins, another Army researcher who had actually volunteered to help the FBI investigate this case and had been doing so for many years. It wasn't until 5 years after the attack that Mueller's men decided that Ivins was a target. The FBI case against Ivins, once again, was based on circumstantial evidence. And as it's looking more and more like every day, circumstantial evidence is quite all right to Robert Mueller. The prosecution stated Ivins purposefully gave a misleading sample of anthrax spore, but Frontline documented this was not true. Ivins was familiar with the area from which the anthrax letters were mailed, the FBI said, but Pulitzer Prize-winning ProPublica lays out the accepted facts of the case, showing it was impossible for Ivins to make the trip to mail the letters. The spores used in the attacks were a similar type to the laboratory spores where Ivins worked, but that ignored the fact that the anthrax letters had a unique additive, so sophisticated and dangerous, a scientist commented, "This is not your mother's anthrax. That was likely produced by a nation state or Al-Qaeda." Ivins was never indicted, just given the Hatfill treatment. Both guys, they got thrown under the bus. Ivins' house was raided. He was threatened with a death sentence, or as his lawyer put it, put under relentless pressure of accusation and innuendo. And by the way, Ivins committed suicide. 1 week later, U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Taylor stated Ivins was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, and they were confident that Dr. Ivins was the only person responsible for these anthrax attacks. Democrat Senator Patrick Leahy, one of the intended victims of the anthrax terror attacks, did not believe that Ivins was the sole actor. Mueller ordered an independent audit of the FBI's case by the National Academy of Sciences, then formally closed the case in 2010, sticking with the conclusion that Ivins, and Ivins alone, committed the terror attack. 1 year later, the NAS released their results and confirmed what many scientists had been repeating for years. The FBI's science and conclusion were, quote, not solid. A former FBI official involved in the investigation sued the FBI, alleging the FBI concealed evidence exculpatory to Ivins. Mueller made his position known, saying, "I do not apologize for any aspect of this investigation," and stated that the FBI had made no mistakes. The investigation was an unmitigated disaster for America. Mueller didn't go after Al-Qaeda for the anthrax letters because he couldn't find a direct link. But then he targeted American citizens without what? A direct link. He never found one. He never showed one. For his deeds, he had the second longest tenure as FBI director ever and was roundly applauded by nearly everyone except Republican Congressman Louis Gohmert of Texas. Well, let's just wrap this thing up today. If it was not for the insistence and persistence of Congressman Louis Gohmert of Texas, who lived just a few miles away from our Louisiana headquarters, these facts would have gone virtually unnoticed. Gohmert, as should all members of Congress, has become something of a bulldog in getting facts about Mueller and putting those facts in the hands of the media. But oddly enough, we've heard very little about Gohmert's findings when the American public should be outraged to have had any intelligence department head carrying on in such a brutal and unprofessional fashion. Certainly, those in government knew this and told us about it. We just forgot, right? Nope. The mainstream media all knew about it. But it wasn't politically correct to publicly hold any establishment member of the government, especially the FBI, to the same standard everyday Americans are held to. So they didn't. Now, Mueller's running the Russian collusion investigation. Think we're going to continually hear the facts in that case too? I don't think we've heard many so far. Oh, by the way, one more thing. We're not through with Mueller. Part two of this story is just as good or better than this part, part one. That will be here tomorrow. It's going to be a hectic week. You need to stay close to Truth News Network this week, because as it comes out, you're going to get it here in detail. As we speak, as an example, James Comey, fired FBI director, is testifying behind closed doors before another congressional committee. Even though it's closed doors, we all know news of that testimony will leak out. Stay close. We'll be back with breaking news anytime now at Truth News Net.
Undeniably the go-to source for nonpartisan, spin-free news from the world.
Real truth, real news. TNN, the Truth News Network.